Life First Podcast. Get with it or get forgotten.
Welcome all you lifers out there. It is MMA Mondays done on a Sunday here with the crew. Got Mikey and Tony.
What's happening, everybody?
And of course, Papa Josh here. It was a hell of a time here. We got Kevin just ghosting in and out.
Beautiful.
Of the background. It's a good witness shot right now. Yeah. Just all elbow. I can't wait for him to see this later and be like, oh, shit.
He's not Esther Lynn. He's all elbow.
How's my background? Is it too loud over here?
Nah, you're good, brother. You're with the fam, no, man.
You can't really hear it.
Yeah, Mikey's got the fam with him. So you're going to hear some family love in the background. Brother might put him in a chokehold at one point. See what that's like. Fellas, fight night.
We got 2 weeks to dive into here, boys.
I mean, do we want to dive into what's been most recent, or do we want to kind of go?
We'll go to the juicy stuff, which is last night.
I feel like that's going to be easier to talk about. We should probably go to the older thing.
It's true.
Because, like, once we start talking about that new stuff, we're not going to go back.
That's true.
Yeah, so last Saturday, the main event was Blades and Volkov. I went to bed early. I didn't really care to see the whole result, you know. But he literally spoke into existence. He was going to take him down and ragdoll him. So he warned us ahead of time.
He said what he was going to do, and he did it.
And it sucks because he's an exciting fighter, but he chose not to be.
It was right. You're kind of playing. He played the strategy that he knew was going to get him the dub. You know, he gassed out though. If you saw, it was bad. And Volkov started putting it on him. If Volkov just had any takedown defense, he probably could have won that fight just by strictly just, he just could not keep him off of him. And you know, shout out to Blades for being able to keep on imposing as well, even as exhausted as he was. Because if we noticed in all these fights that have happened recently, and most recently in the fight night with Dustin, you could see some of these guys, just their takedowns just drain the shit out of them. Doesn't matter how in shape they are, it takes a lot out of you.
Blades go from here? Rosenstrike or Gus?
Rosenstrike's fighting Dos Santos next.
Yeah, I would like to hope that Dos Santos takes that win. But he's also creeping on age.
Blades has never fought Lewis, right?
I was thinking that too.
I feel like maybe Michael Bisping might have said that during the commentating.
Mm-hmm.
What's unfortunate for him is because he's lost to Francis, who I guess we could say is most likely going to be the future champ. I think we can all agree on that.
He's at least the vice champion right now, and as long as he's there, it's going to be hard for Blaze.
That's all dependent on, right, if out of Cormier and Stipe, right, there's a trilogy fight. If they, you know, Cormier most likely is going to retire, especially if he wins. So that's going to be the belt, which will make the UFC even worse. But then you think about if, let's say, Stipe does win, most likely he'll want to defend it again.
I think Stipe,
and maybe that would be the opportunity for Blade.
I think Stipe retires, win or lose.
He is creeping up in age. I didn't even realize that. We've been watching him for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, he has not much legacy after the DC fight, to be honest.
Yeah. If he can beat DC again, like, I feel like he should call it.
He could, yeah.
Here's my dark horse for the heavyweight division, and he's going to prove it with Werdum, Gus. Mm-hmm. If Gus dominates Werdum, he's going to have a career resurgence, and there's going to be a lot of problems for him in the heavyweight division.
Now, do you think if Stipe wins, right, obviously he's going to fight Francis. Do you think that
if
he beats Francis twice, that'll cement his legacy even more, that he topples this big wave again that's getting all this hype? Because if they fight again, most likely they're going to – he might be an underdog, which would – to me would be, I think, disrespectful to Stipe. But he might be the underdog in that fight. Yeah, bro. I think Stipe's gonna beat him again.
Although, to be fair, I mean, I think Ngannou has made the adjustments and has leveled up since their last fight. But hypothetically speaking, if Stipe beats DC and Ngannou, greatest heavyweight. Hands down.
Right? Hands down.
For sure. Yeah.
Unless Francis goes on
around just for legacy.
Right.
I don't see him trying to come back and fight Francis if he gets past DC. He could retire there and still be considered
one of the greatest. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, so if that happens, right, then
It's the interim.
If the belt's vacated, right? DC, Stipe gone. They're retired. Mm-hmm. And then you have Francis, obviously. Who's he going to fight? Because it's not going to be Blades again. They're not going to be.
It probably wouldn't even be Lewis again.
Because that was a snooze fest.
They don't want to take that chance.
They don't want to take 6 or 5.
They don't want to take that chance. So it's like, it's kind of up in the air. Maybe Gustafson gets a shot just from the
Gustafson fight Francis, he'll die.
But I'm saying, like, who would people want to watch Francis really knock out at this point? Besides John Jones. You know, at this point, it's not going to happen.
It's a paddle shot.
Right? So it's like, what another division that's kind of up in the air after this, after that fight? Like, it's kind of like, fuck, what do you do? How do you matchmake at that point? That's where Dana
I'm going to try to see if I can pull up the heavyweight rankings.
It's very shallow, I'll tell you that. Just like the flyweight. And the women's bantamweight rankings. I made a statement today.
Oh, no. Yeah, I saw that.
I personally believe that Ronda could be top three after Holm, Duranemi, and Nunes. You know what I mean? Like, I think she could beat the rest of the division.
Ronda?
And I was getting shat on for it.
And yeah, also, if Ronda could take Duranemi down, she'll definitely submit her. That's like guaranteed.
Yeah.
I think Holly still beats her.
Now, the problem is if she's this old Ronda,
the
confidence is gone. And you saw that.
But then again, look who she fought, though. It's not like she lost to, like a...
No, she didn't...
Sarah Murphy from Aspen Ladd, you know?
No, bro. I promise you now. Holly Holm, Amanda Nunes, that's the only two people she lost. They're both going to be Hall of Famers.
They're literally number one and number two.
They're going to both be Hall of Famers when it comes to the UFC.
Because I thought Holm beat Duranemi, so...
All right, so I pulled up the heavyweight rankings real quick.
Yeah.
They got DC at 1, Francis at 2, Blades at 3. So, yeah, I think that Blades Francis thing might be a thing.
He's so
And then you got though. Lewis, Jr., Rosenstruck, Overeem, Volkov, and Harris.
What is your guys' opinion on champions moving up a weight class and getting instant title shots and jumping all 15 rankings? That blows my mind. I mean, Connor did it.
If they're the champion,
Henry
it's Cejudo. Okay. What really upsets me is when, like, a champion loses, then they change weight classes, and then they just, like, automatically slide into, like, the top five. Yeah.
I feel like they have to be financially motivated, right? I mean, they're thinking because they were the champion that they can still get the amount of eyeballs, hopefully the pay-per-view buys that they need to make money. So, I mean, that's – and I guess depending because, like, you got a guy like Aldo who –
That blows my mind.
Lost that fight, but because he was promised the fight with Henry Cejudo because Cejudo called him out, Dana White thought it would be right by them, that they'd be doing right by him, by Jose, which shout out to for them to show a little bit of loyalty to him.
Yeah.
Even after loss, even – they promised him a fight that it couldn't happen because of the pandemic. Now they can make a fight happen for the title. It just won't be against Cejudo. They're giving him that opportunity still. So, I mean – And he's one of the better featherweights that they've – it was their first featherweight champion who held the belt for
how long? Still, my opinion, the greatest heavyweight champion. I mean, statistic-wise, you have to
defend – Featherweight.
Yeah.
Featherweight, yeah.
That's what I said, right? I mean,
you said heavyweight.
Sorry, bro. He's, you know, he's very small heavyweight.
No, for sure. He's definitely still the best featherweight there's ever been.
I mean given that Max knocked him out twice, but I think it's the title defenses and the reign.
Exactly.
For sure. I think Holloway's coming up close if he can beat Volkanovski.
Holloway would be my number two for sure.
Oh, right. He's right there, I feel like, you know.
Catapults past Connor, too.
And he's,
I don't take Connor seriously. Sure.
And think about this, too. Max is only 28, bro. Like,
I thought he was older. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was older.
So he still has, you know, those early 30s.
Yeah.
Like that season.
He's still kind he's of brighter. Yeah, he's still got plenty of time.
Kind of scary to think about. But 45 stacked. You guys see that Emmett and Burgos fight? Emmett's no joke.
Oh my goodness!
The guy literally gave up his knee to win a fight.
Well, that was in that. That was on the fight as well, right? That same card.
That was the co-main event.
Co-main event, right?
I believe. I haven't watched Burgos much, but that guy definitely stood out.
I love Burgos.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. He has good head movement. He's got really good boxing. I love watching him fight.
He didn't seem to have the head movement during the fight, though.
I agree.
The second round, he was.
If you watch some of his other fights, he slips way better. He moves way better. But it wasn't here for the Emmett fight. Why that was, I don't know. Maybe he's working on something new. You know?
Emmett spams overhands. And But I mean, he's got some power. And I can't imagine if he didn't have like a limp knee, he probably would have clipped and knocked him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which blows my mind.
Burgos has a kid, too, because Burgos ate so many shots.
Both of them made a lot of shots.
He wasn't moving side to side, it seemed like.
Burgos wasn't throwing 100% power.
Not power.
Emmett was trying to take his life, and he was eating him for the most part.
And it just blows my mind, because in the rankings, Jeremy Stephens is right behind Emmett, and Stephens did some dirty things to Emmett when they fought.
Yeah,
but that's just like the toss-up when you see a Stevens fight, you know?
Yeah.
The confidence of being a fighter, just knowing you just got to land this, or even this, like once or twice, and all you have to do is just knock out the person. Like, that's pretty confident.
Yeah, that's a Francis mindset.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, technicality-wise, like when he fought Rosenstruik, it wasn't like,
it was terrible. Like, it was terrible.
We can't say anything because he got the job done.
Right.
But you
don't need technique if you land.
I was just going to say, but look at how quickly he decided that he didn't respect his power. Because Rosenstruik's known for knocking out people too. Like, he hits hard too.
Yeah.
Just not on that Francis. I mean, granted, I guess you could say all heavyweights hit pretty damn hard. Not for
the most part.
But man, Francis is putting he just hit harder, man.
And that was the one thing I was telling people before the fight happened. I was like, yeah, you can knock people out, but, like, you're not doing what Francis is doing. Francis separating life. Like, it's different. It's different.
He sends people to orbit, bro.
That uppercut was 100%. My coming out party for Francis when he uppercut over him. I always give him power.
That's his head. I thought he died. His head's
down. No, for real. Hard. Like, straight up. Like, it was like clack.
It's like a decade of your life in a punch.
Bro.
I was just hoping he got up. No cap.
Right? I mean, bro, that guy's taking some, and he keeps doing it, man. He's definitely and I know Dana White said that it ain't a career to be in the UFC, but Overeem's made a career fighting in the UFC.
I respect Overeem. Any vet that can have as many fights as he had, go to as many gyms as he goes to keep trying to improve himself. Like, there's so many fighters that don't do that. That they would benefit from that. Yep. But Tyron Woodley, I was just talking to my brother today about Tyron Woodley. I was like, man, needs to change it up. Because if he wants to continue fighting, you can't do the shit you've been doing.
Well, he's 38, I think.
Yeah,
Tyron
close is. To 37.
But if he thinks he's probably still championship material, but you can't stay at the gym you're at. He's not.
Is he at Rufus Sports still?
He goes between Rufus and ATT.
Yeah, with Dean, right? Entity is Dean Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
something's got to change. I think Edward would have put the things on him, to be honest.
But is it something has to change, like, training-wise, or does he just have to stop all the extra bullshit? Does he have to stop focusing on his
wrestling? Honestly, I think it's the way he fights. I think it's style. I wouldn't even chalk it up to, like, all that extra stuff. Like, he's been fighting the same way for a long time, and now he's starting to lose for fighting the same way. Like,
true.
You gotta change it up.
But do you think he really fought like that against Gilbert? Because I didn't see that. And the same with Usman. I didn't see like a regular
No, like in the sense of like backing against the cage, trying to wait for like one shot.
Trying to counter some of these shots,
And his knockout came from him throwing combos, him being the aggressor.
That's what I was going to say is I felt like he used to throw more combos when he would set up getting into the fence. Now I feel like he's getting lazy.
He wants one shot, and he's not one shot guy.
He's not setting up his shots, but he used to. That was the thing. On his rise and when he was dominant, he used to set up those shots, and he wasn't. And he used to mix up his wrestling a lot more. And
it would open up his striking if he wrestled more. And he can take down pretty much anyone he fights, in my opinion.
Now it's just a matter of like with somebody.
Well, that's because they have to be worried about the power, though. Like, once you got to worry about the power, then you can get the takedown.
Exactly. They go hand in hand for sure.
Yeah, but less and less people are worried about his power, so they get more confident and they, you know, get on his ass.
I agree, though. He definitely needs a change, whether it's something in his training, whether it's lifestyle.
Yeah, it could be anything could be holding him back, but he definitely has to change something.
I absolutely think it's a passing of the torch for sure.
I mean, it could. Usman. His time may have come and gone. It might.
But one fight I wanted to kind of talk about from a fan and a fighter's perspective was the Hubbard and Rockshaw fight. What I understand is that Rockshaw is what, like 6-0 maybe? 5-0? mm-hmm. and took the UFC debut on 5 days' notice. You know,
super short. It was like a week.
And I can't blame him for that. But you know, there's been crazy upsets with that happening. You don't turn down a shot at the UFC.
Alex Hernandez, Benil Dariush, he came out there and knocked him out cold on a short notice debut. Yeah, was that, Alex Hernandez, when he debuted, it was a short notice, and he knocked him out clean. And
Somebody came into last night's fight night, I believe, too, on Saturday's fight night, on short notice. Worthy, right?
Karma fought already once.
Was it Woodson?
Oh, he fought twice. Yeah, it might have been Woodson.
Yes, Woodson, you're right. It was Woodson.
We'll cover that fight too. That has a lot to break down.
But yeah, but I'm saying they, people have taken it and have been
successful. Yeah,
100%.
Because sometimes you'll never get that opportunity in the UFC. You know, there's a lot of great fighters out there. I mean, I get super nerdy with it, and I look at Tapology, and I'll look at all the rankings for each weight class. Yeah. And usually it's people outside of the UFC, so you'll see all your regional pound for pound rankings. But you'll be like, dude, this guy's got like 40 wins. Why is he not in the UFC? Or this guy's like 15-2. Why isn't on the UFC? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. About marketability and your style, to be honest. If you're a wrestler and you're wrestling your way to, 15-2, it's just not going to happen, sadly.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
It's a curve for Ben.
You have to be really, really dominant, I feel like. And if you're not smashing them, if you're not doing work on the ground, it's hard for people to kind of really watch that and appreciate it, unless you're really a fight fan. The casual guy isn't going to want to watch that as much as what we like, because when we start seeing these transitions, you start seeing two good grapplers, whether it's wrestling or jiu-jitsu, really go at it, and especially like you see somebody like Khabib, who people don't appreciate the fact that he just lays on people, bro. He lets them get up to get back down, so strategically he lets them tire themselves out while he kind of rests. He'll pepper him up. Like Connor, he didn't do shit to him in that first round.
No,
he wore him out like crazy.
How to use your weight and make them carry your weight.
That's what George used to do. He'll wear you down.
Yep. So it's, you're right, though. A lot of it is marketability. Going back to Jose Aldo, he's marketable. That's why,
Brazil.
The 135 division needs some life, because Henry Cejudo's gone. No one knows, Peter Yan or Pewter Yan, whatever you want to say his name is.
Piotr.
Not too many people know, obviously, about him, unless you're a fight fan. So they need some sort of name, I feel like, tied to him to sell that fight, to sell a championship fight. So
Dominic Cruz said it best after he fought Cejudo. He had already said Aldo was going to fight next for the title, probably against Jan. And he said, with him dropping down, he's probably the biggest name 35er now, over everyone. Just
probably the biggest, too.
Yeah.
Big for 45.
Might be. I mean, it's...
The Rockshoff, I didn't personally watch the fight, but I read into it, and it was 1-1 going into the third. So I don't know where his mentality was going to sit down, but I counted 9 times he said call it. And I'm not one for quitting, but there's a point where you just don't have to take unnecessary damage. Your debut. You're going to get – you just signed a contract for more fights. You're in the UFC. You've made it. Your mental health, your physical health. If you really feel like you're not going to get the job done, then I guess I would merit that. I don't blame the coach for saying, keep going, you got this. And that's your job. You're here to motivate your fighter.
Right.
He got so much backlash for that. So much so he deleted social media.
But yeah, that was sad. Yeah.
Who, his coach or Max?
Max Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. I think the coach had to do. Supposedly, from what some of these other podcasts I was watching, he's known for kind of having a little bit of that mentality that you need to push him, that sometimes will want to quit on shit that he's like, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're doing great. Like, you're doing fine. Like, stop it. And I think he thought that was the case for him. And when he realized that it wasn't, I mean, he told the official apparently afterwards, like, hey, do you want to continue? The ref strictly asked him, and he was like, no. And then they told the guy that checks on him.
Drysdale.
For UFC. It's
Buffer? Or
no, not the inspector. I don't know. There's a term with the doctor, I guess. But they let someone know that, hey, it's a wrap. And so they called it. But, as a coach, he had to try to see if it was – if his head was really not in it, or if he just needed that push. And I mean, when somebody wants to quit, you they're not gonna fight. They're not gonna do well. Who is it? Raquel Pennington, right?
Yeah.
Nunes.
You know, that goes to show what happens when a fighter knows they're not, you know, at that point, granted, it was a little bit different. She was getting her ass whooped. And I think she knew she just didn't have it to beat, you know, Amanda.
Down three rounds, the last two rounds are pretty high pressure. If you weren't having much success the first round, even in a three-round fight, the first two rounds and you feel like you can't finish the guy and you're down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that Hail Mary punch, but you can also open up so much by going for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll be back, man. I think he's just going to have to.
Well, Dana wasn't mad at him for it. Like, he's like, if he felt like he's done, like, there's no reason to, like, push somebody to kill themselves. Especially when he's making, like, a quick turnaround for them with, like, an early, like, you know what I mean? Short notice kind of
help
thing.
Help him
like,
save that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's already done them a favor by taking the fight, so.
And not only that, think about his opponent. He would have been asked out of a check. He wouldn't have made any money. You don't fight, you don't win. So, you know.
It's cool to look at a fight, you know, face-to-face, you know, two fighters. You guys are each other's business partners. So, someone doesn't fight, most likely someone doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
You need the person that's your dance partner, you know? So, it's essentially doing business.
That's why it's so hard for these fighters to kind of make a stance on some of their pay. If they feel their pay isn't up to par, you know, if you ain't stack up your bread right, if you don't have businesses that's going to make you money outside of fighting, then it's going to be really hard to negotiate when it comes down to you.
I can't wait to fight, to talk about fighter purses with you guys in just a second.
Right, yeah.
Purses, how to spend it, how to save it, tax evasion, all of it. Let's start with Poirier Hooker. What do you think? Thoughts? That was incredible. That second round was a just bleed moment. That's your super fan moment.
Best fight of the year. Fight of the year right now.
Had to be. That was better than Burgos and Emmett for me.
That was better than all of it.
I'd have to watch both. Yeah. Really?
Joanna Whaley was pretty epic too, though.
It was, but like when Hooker walks him down and he just starts ripping him to the body, yes, and then they separate, and then Poirier just starts hitting him in the face. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Poirier didn't look hurt. I mean, maybe at the end of the second round, it looked like, okay, you know, if there's more time, he could have got finished. But in majority of the exchanges, Poirier was eating him, and like landing and answering.
Even
back.
Hooker, though, like I was surprised, like they weren't really getting stunned, but and they were just getting cut. Like cut and bleeding, but like they just kept coming.
So I thought he shots put people out.
Yeah, man. I saw a few shots. You could tell that it was hurting, but they bit down on that mouthpiece and they kept swinging.
I briefly talked about it with my brother, and we were talking about a Tony Ferguson versus Poirier matchup.
Yeah, I mean,
Poirier can crack, and Tony's gonna get hit.
Yeah. If Gaethje can beat him, Poirier can beat him. That's just facts.
Yep.
That's just facts.
Well, because Poirier stays just as patient as what Gaethje did to
right.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that Hooker was going to come out aggressive, you know, he would have taken chances to, you know, pop his shots. Now, Ferguson's pretty similar in lankiness, right? Like, he's got a pretty good reach similar to Hooker.
Not the same body.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Skills, I think. Hooker's a very skilled striker. I think Ferguson's a skilled striker too, but I think we can't discredit Hooker's wrestling. It was there. But I'd say the jiu-jitsu. If Tony Ferguson had Poirier's neck a few times like he did.
I agree. And I say that on anybody. If Tony Ferguson gets anybody's neck, Khabib, anybody, I think Tony takes it home.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's not done either. He's actually trying to fight soon. Weirdo. Oh, super weirdo, man.
He knows.
He should fight Nate.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. He would hurt Nate. I know. It'd still be fun. We'd watch it.
Ferguson just needs a win to get right back in Khabib territory. So
who does Ferguson fight next? Maybe Hooker?
Khabib,
not gonna be
Hooker. Yeah, I can see Hooker. Hooker's too far down for Ferguson.
He's like 4 or 5.
I mean, like the scale of where Ferguson is, where he's like right there. You know what I mean? Like what could
no, he
be
must,
like?
He has to fight Poirier now.
I don't think Hooker's stock went down at all, though.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think so either. Yeah. He's right at – well, the problem is Connor's at 4. He ain't taking form of man.
But Connor ain't coming back.
Poirier's probably going to stay at 3. Like, literally, everybody's probably going to stay exactly where they're at.
Hear me out.
Tony's going to stay at 2. Poirier's going to be at 3. Connor's still at 4. And Hooker's at 5.
Hear me out. So, Khabib,
actually, Khabib's gone because he's retired. So maybe Hooker will go up to four. Sorry.
Retirements mean nothing in MMA.
I know, but
hear me out though. So the winner of Khabib and Gaethje fights Poirier, in my opinion. Tony Ferguson fights Oliveira, and the winner of that gets the winner of Poirier, and then the winner of the title fight. Maybe just use that little tournament.
The winner of Gaethje and
Khabib
fights McGregor.
Oh, I don't know if Khabib.
I don't like how that works, though. You beat Cerrone, you get a title shot.
I'm just telling you. That's what's going to happen.
You think?
Dude, Tony can honestly. Tony, I agree. I think McGregor can get a title shot at welterweight if
he wants. I'm sorry. Yeah, he could. He really could.
Oh, for sure.
It's not right. I'm not saying that's it's right. Not, I'm just telling you what would happen.
Ali Abdelaziz swears that Khabib is not fighting Conor again.
I don't care what Ali says. Ali's a liar, like Dana.
True. That's true.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's true.
I don't know him as a person. I'm just saying, like, I know he'll lie, though.
I'm curious.
Conor hanging around there somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Bro, well, imagine if they set up Khabib, Justin,
yep,
and Poirier versus Tony in that same card.
Knowing it would be beautiful. That would be amazing. Wow. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And honestly, it's perfect because if Tony beats Poirier, same thing. If they beat each other, they're right there for a title shot. Yeah. Those are the next two in line, hands down.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I don't want to see Tony Gaethje again, maybe a full camp Tony has something else for us to see. And maybe this Gaethje has another answer for Poirier.
Yeah.
Either way, Khabib better retire soon.
If Khabib can beat Gaethje, can somehow, if it ends up being Tony next, can beat Tony, he can dip out and he'll be fine. He'll vacate.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he said he already seems like he's only got, like, what, like 2 years left in him or something like that? He said he wanted to retire.
He's still relatively young. He's only like 31.
I know he said he wanted to retire soon. I can't remember how.
No, I know. Yeah. You know, he said he's only had a few fights because he honestly only feels, from what I've read in interviews, that he just, there's only a certain elite guys that needs to beat. He beat Conor already.
Yeah.
He wanted to beat Tony. That's not going to happen. Gaethje beat Tony, so that's the new guy in line.
I think he'll still end up fighting Tony before it's all over.
It'll be watered down. Tony has to win for it to be the same at level of that, you know.
Tony has to kill the next guy he fights.
Gotta be Poirier, man. Nothing else makes sense besides Poirier.
I mean, here's my dark horse. I mean, it was Hooker. But what about Charles Oliveira? I think he's like
I agree. Charles Oliveira is right there. Like, people hate on him because he hasn't fought maybe the biggest names, but like, he dude's a beast.
Absolutely, no one's done that to Kevin Lee.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if Poirier didn't want to, because Poirier even feels like he needs one more fight before he gets to title contention again.
If they do Poirier Oliveira, I think Poirier knocks Oliveira out.
I think so too. Even though Oliveira is very good, maybe submit some
skills. This isn't like a diss or nothing. It's just that's what I think.
No, I think so though too. I like Poirier, man. I like what he does in there, bro.
His boxing, man. I just love it. It is beautiful to watch. I love it.
His development over the years is crazy.
Yeah. God, way better.
When I first got out of him, he triangle armbarred Max Holloway.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And I was like, "Who's this bald guy?" You know. And then he was winning a bunch, and then he got halted in his 45 track Chan Sung Jung, Korean Zombie.
Yep.
He had Darce by him, which is supposed to be a really fun, entertaining fight, I remember. So he's been up and down. He's seen it all. Yeah. He's definitely earned it.
Bro, side note. Tony, you might know. What's up with T-City and Korean Zombie? I know they had that spat.
I think they're fighting each other next.
As far as
I understand.
Yeah, they're supposed to. I'm just wondering when. Like, nothing's been announced.
I think announcements come less now because of, like, with the pandemic. Now that Fight Island's done, though, like, and Dana White's on the fucking island taking fucking pictures and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you'll hear more fight announcements come up a lot sooner now that's set up.
You're right. That makes sense.
I poop my pants whenever I see fight announcements now. It's just exciting because you got to think about it. Not everybody wants to fight. It's just the most gangster of people fighting during this whole shit going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
No, like, it's crazy. Like, you see somebody win, and then you see him next week fight again.
Because no, I'm seeing like, a lot of turnarounds.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's crazy. Well, they can't even appreciate the win. Like, almost everybody who's made the turnaround, I feel like they've lost. Like, in the second one, because they take it so soon.
Roosevelt Roberts is one of them. I think Charles Rosa is one of them, too.
Brian Kelleher is one of them. He just looked really good, and then he lost. Like, and it sucks, but, like, that's also, like, free money, too. Like,
we're yet to see someone win both.
I know. Like I don't think it's happened yet, though.
Well, now, I don't know if you saw, but who was it? Bosner, after he won his fight, was trying to
That was a nice knockout.
Yeah, yeah. The Canadian, he wanted
to... Oh, my God. Yes, I just remember...
Felipe Lins is good.
That shit was tough. It was tough.
Felipe. But he caught him, man. He caught him with that right and just cracked him. But he immediately called out Galante. And then, of course, Galante
lost
to Green.
I would call out Vellante, too, at heavyweight.
Vellante's trash.
Vellante is trash.
I'm sorry. Vellante just got submitted by – and I literally watched it live. Because
he was Chris Weidman's – he was Chris Weidman's boy.
Yeah.
And he got hugged to sleep.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, first off, I saw the knockdown happen. We were playing Monopoly at the time. And then I look back at him, and we're like, whoa, where did this happen? And he's like, ground and pounding. And then it slowed down. We're like, okay, well, he stole the fight, stole the round. And then out of nowhere, we see Green get up. Ah!
Yeah,
what just happened? And then I saw it, and I literally
got it. Come here,
bro.
Go sleep.
I literally looked at everyone I was, like, with. I'm like, if I ever get submitted by that, I'm not competing another day in my life. That would never happen.
Dope.
I would pass guard.
Right. The announcers are like, oh, look at how he has his leg trapped. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about his leg trapped? His leg is just there. It's just there. Yeah. Like, it's not trapped. He didn't have it, like, crucifixed or anything. Like,
yeah.
Man.
This thing was on some other shit last night. His commentary was out of this world.
Yeah.
He got another deep, deep guillotine right out.
Every time. Bro.
Every time. And every time they'd say it, though, Hooker would get out. But, oh, yeah, that's deep.
I will say this. I know he was saying it, and I know he's messing up, but I'm not going to lie. When I was sitting at home watching, I was like, oh, shit, he's got it. He's got it.
He knew them, yeah.
It was just every time he would say it. Yeah. I mean, the same thing. He had the Khabib guillotine. He had it really deep, too. He adjusted
it. He's got a good guillotine. He just can't. He needs that karma-worthy guillotine where you, like, got that shit up here.
Right.
John Jones guillotine, the alpha male guillotine.
Yeah.
That BT City guillotine.
Oh yeah.
Mean.
Then again, I'm not big on T City, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hype him. He's not my dude no more.
No, you guys don't like T City?
Max took years off his life. Plus, he's a punk for slapping the rap.
When you slap a dude in the crowd after the Korean Zombie leaves, like, that's petty, bro. Like, I can't.
Well, supposedly he had found out that it wasn't Trash Korean talk. Zombie talking shit on his, like, profile.
Right. That's fine. You still can't slap a pedestrian.
No, I know. He was
slap them both.
Listen, bro.
Slap them both. Slap him while
slap
I'm
the
there.
Fighter first.
Don't wait till Korean Zombie goes to the restroom. That's childish. Like,
should have been slap and one little stroke.
Yeah, slap both of them and then fight both of them at the same time like a thug. Like, don't fucking slap
it would just be like, it'd be like a rapper walking up to me and be like, yo, rap battle, go. And then a circle forms. And then I get embarrassed because I'm not a rapper. You know what I'm saying? But let's move on to bigger and better things. Perry Gall. Oh, my God. There's so much to dissect here.
I mean.
For me, it was a good fight.
Oh, great fight.
I enjoyed watching it. I was surprised. Gall's kickboxing was looking pretty good. Just boxing.
He had those straight punches.
I like that he's been training with, like, Chillin and all the other guys that has been helping him, like, develop as a fighter. He was throwing a lot of little cheap shit in there, like grabbing the cage from behind Perry's back. Yep. So that he could, like, keep him against the cage. Like, little, like, I didn't like that shit. But,
I missed it. Jeez.
Yeah. Mike Perry. His wrestling was good.
Up on the fence, too.
Huh?
I think during the Brandon Allen.
And the prelims, I know some other people were doing it, too.
People were grabbing up on the fence during, like, takedowns, which was.
Yeah. But, I was surprised that his kickboxing looked good. I wasn't surprised by Perry's, like, wrestling. Like, he's wrestled other guys. He's powerbombed other. Like, when Perry anybody who can pick Paul Felder up here and then just drop that man, like,
When you saw him picking him up, Mickey Gall was trying to grab on the fence.
And he's like, fuck that. Ain't no fence gonna save you.
Perry said, fuck you, bro.
Yeah, he's caught Diesel with his wrestling for sure.
Bro, he couldn't take down Perry for his life.
No.
Not even once. Did he really shoot on him really though?
A few times.
Did he?
Towards the end of the fight, I believe.
I just remember him like kickboxing a lot. That's just me.
And I saw him start to fade towards the second round, and then I knew that Perry would pick it up, which is really weird. You know, I've seen Perry fight. I've seen Perry train when he does. Just his approach to this fight, I had to bet against him. I still
had Perry. I don't think Gall is up to snuff.
True.
Like, that's still, just me. Even if Perry's like a bottom side, you know, like the welterweights or whatever, like he's still better than Mickey Gall.
And competition wise, Perry's fought way better.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not I know that Felder's a lightweight, but he dogged Felder. And he's dogged.
For some reason, I thought Gall was gonna submit him. I don't know why. Just the preparation, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that's why a lot of people kind of had him
100%
down, you know? So you're going to be spending that money, son. You let the IRS get that?
Well, think about it. Like, he doesn't have to pay his coaches or his agents. He just pays himself, essentially.
No, the stuff he was saying wasn't wrong, but he's still going about it in a weird way. Like, you can still have a team. You don't got to be weird about it. Like,
you're trying to take my money, but I ain't making no money. It's like, are you paying your taxes, bro, when you make your money?
That's what I was – I don't feel like you're paying your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like when Platinum gets paid, like Wesley Snipes, taxes bro. Get paid.
I don't know too much about his personal life, but I know that he's not very frugal with his money. He likes to have a good time, which is weird when he mentioned in his post-fight interview he has a team in Florida or had a team in Florida.
Right.
And he wants to move further down south Florida. So just him saying that means – that's like his knock on ATT's door, American Top Team's door. He wants to move to South Beach, and he wants to find a place to train. It's either you go to Hard Knocks, Sanford, Fusion, or the mothership. I think ATT is the number one school in the world right now. They just have so many
schools. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Everyone goes there.
Yeah.
And Sanford is the one that Gilbert, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a Henry Hoof connection. They're trying to build a team out there.
Okay.
Probably like 45 an hour from us in Orlando. Yeah. You know? So it's there.
And so is Gilbert in Florida?
I think Gilbert's at Sanford. Henry Hoof pulled himself out for the fight. There's Michael Chandler there, Sean Soriano. Yeah. You know,
Usman too. And then Gaethje went down there to train with Usman. That shit's going to be
good. No. He went to Denver.
Oh, he went up?
Yeah, okay. Usman went to Denver.
Either way, the fact that they're training together is just beautiful.
Did you watch the footage that they released?
Yeah.
Rolling around together?
When the fight first got announced, I had Burns beating Usman. His performance, his jiu-jitsu, his striking. I was like, Usman might get a few takedowns, but good luck sitting in his guard, blah, blah, blah.
I think if Usman gets on top of him.
Of course.
He's got size. I think he can.
And if you have good enough wrestling, you can neutralize jiu-jitsu.
100%.
You throw Gaethje in there as your daily look and as your number one training partner. Yeah. I'm sorry, he does everything better than Burns, but jiu-jitsu.
Right. Not only that, but you lost Henry Hoop for your striking, right? You don't have that coach anymore because he sat out. But now you bring in a guy like Trevor Whitman, who's another striking connoisseur. And
Usman has a striking coach?
Huh?
Usman has a striking the head coach. I'm just kidding.
He's not Ben Askren.
Right. Yeah, true. He can be if he wants.
Ben Askren's striking.
No, but like Ben Askren's is non-existent.
Bro, so it's like, bad.
At least Usman has something.
It was really cool to watch. How
great his wrestling was. Like, he didn't need not even a lick of a combo to throw. Let me get a 1-2. All right, just give me a 1, Ben. Just a 1, please.
Do anything to set up a takedown. Anything. Please. Shake at him. Like, flash your hand.
No, I'm just going to run my head forward and just grab it.
That's how you got neat last time, Ben. Come on.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I think the Trevor Whitman, the fact that he went out there to train with a guy like Gaethje and really Trevor Whitman and that gym, Onyx, I think it just puts him past Gilbert. I had Usman already winning it just because I think the pace, his endurance. Yeah. His wrestling, and plus the size, I really think helps him.
The size helps him so much. I was surprised at how much bigger he was than Colby when they fought. Like, he made Colby look little, and Colby don't really look that small. He's like long. He's got like long arms. Like, he's tall. He's pretty tall for the weight class too. Like,
he's like 190.
He's a big dude. Yeah.
And I rewatched that fight too with Colby, and Colby hit him with some shots, man.
Yeah,
he took it and kept coming forward, man. And
he could back him off, but he never was able to like shake him like enough to where he wouldn't keep coming.
I mean, I was just gonna say, Colby is usually the one, the aggressor. I mean, when we see that Lawler fight, Colby was just running.
Man, he dog Lawler.
Whew.
Crazy.
So I mean, it's gonna be a really, really that card. Hopefully, is good. Apparently, I forgot who one of these fighters is talking about historically. 3 championship fights in one card has been really bad. Like, the card just sucked. So I'm trying to remember. I think the last one was good, but number wise, I mean, the amount of times that they've done it, it just didn't work out for them. I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah.
But
it's looking good.
I'm excited for it.
Right.
I wasn't excited for Fight Island because I found out that's the place that they've had over the years and have gone to Abu Dhabi and have been there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I saw them building the cage on sand. And if it's on sand and we get an aerial view and we see just the beach in the background, I'm going to poop my pants for sure.
It's mad. It's going to be dope.
Now I'm on.
Do you think they're really building it to fight outside?
No, I think they have to have some sort of cover. They can't take the chances of, like, weather fucking up their fight.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, more so like they got to build a structure over that, right? Like, but it's weird because the cage is going up. You think they were more so? Do you think they were just putting up the cage for visual effect, just to like show people Fight Island, or do you think that it won't be indoors at all?
Good point.
If that makes sense.
I don't know. I'm trying to think outside, right?
What happened?
Mm-hmm. There's been a few fights outside. Tim Kennedy.
Yeah. I watched Ben Askren fighting Bodog outside back in the day.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I think, again, they're just going to need it. Like, because if you think about it, like the Abu Dhabi when Khabib fought Poirier, mm-hmm. technically that was also, they built that whole structure from scratch for them to fight. So, I mean, I'm assuming they do something like that. I think maybe for imagery, I think that cage was put up there.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Hey,
we're building something.
Right.
I would think that they're not going to take the chance of, let's say, someone tripping in sand and injury, you know. We've had freak accidents before. I think that'd be like the last thing they'd want to happen to them.
Have you guys ever
set it up like they did Abu Dhabi when Khabib and Poirier fought?
Have you ever tried what?
Is it common? Have you guys ever tripped in sand before?
No, but I'm saying.
I mean, I probably should have when I was younger or something. Not like as an adult.
Any serious injuries or something?
Listen, bro. This guy tripped over a wire and
hey, if you can trip over a cord, you can trip over some sand.
Exactly, bro.
Dodge a wrench.
You know, well, think about it too. They're gonna have to have. They're gonna have to have all these cords and wires all over the ground just for
buried in the sand like little booby traps.
I think that I don't think they're gonna want to deal with sand all that bullshit. I think they're gonna do like they did in Abu Dhabi for the Khabib fight. It's gonna be obviously on a way smaller scale because
crushing my dreams here, Josh.
Like the Rumble, what was it, the Rumble in the Jungle? In the fight in Manila with the boxers.
Yeah.
But they were out, legitimately outside. There was nothing covering the fucking. There was no roof, and no ceiling. Like these motherfuckers had to deal with the humidity and all that bullshit. And even
I think the humidity was a big problem in the Khabib. When Khabib and Khabib, I think a lot of fighters were like throwing up and shit. Like
Dominic Cruz, because Joe Rogan did a fight companion, and he was on the phone getting text messages from Dominic Cruz, and he was asking him like, "How hot is it?" Him and Brendan Schaub, one of them, but they were asking how hot it is, and he was like, it's fucking hot as balls. Like,
Like
they're commentating, sweating their ass off. So imagine fighting.
For anybody fighting, yeah.
Woo.
Cool to see tank tops and like sun visors and stuff with over the headsets.
You know? And they're wearing like fucking
little fans.
Can you imagine if this next one, you just see Cormier in a fucking tank top just sweating his ass with like a rag just patting himself down every so often?
KFC, that cake and chicken.
Oh my God!
Where do you guys think Perry goes from here? I was thinking Pettis, Till, or Maya. Looking at the rankings, I mean, Till's far fetched.
I was talking to one of my friends. They said Lawler, and I'm not against it.
They should have booked that a while ago.
Huh?
Should have booked that a while ago.
I know, but like, where's Lawler at nowadays? Like, honestly. Like he's Lawler's always there to murder. Like he'll put hands on anybody. That's just that's a fact. But if they got any, you know, skill set that can get past that, then that's when you're in trouble. But I think him and Perry would be a good fight. That might be too high for Perry. I don't know. But I like all the things you said too.
Yeah, I think if you're the UFC, you give him fights that are going to be exciting because you know he's not going to beat anybody in the elite rankings. So you give him.
And it's crazy because he came close a few times. You know, it wasn't a bad Ponzinibbio fight. The Joban, he was outclassed.
Yeah, and, I still feel like Ponzinibbio ran from him when he did win for most of that fight. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get hit by Perry? He does hit hard. Very.
He was really acting like Stylebender out there.
Oh, him?
Yeah. Stylebender Romero.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, like Condit Diaz, UFC 143.
That was probably. He's hitting with some vicious leg kicks.
Jesus, head kick, leg kick. But I mean, Perry. I think Perry has all the tools to be really successful in the UFC. But it's just a matter of he sharpens those tools. You know, right. just from what I know, he's not very. Some martial artists like to drill a lot.
Right.
And that's where the perfection of your craft comes. You know, and you see in high level MMA the jump from each fight for certain fighters, or a jump from like a 5-fight win streak, how much better people get. You know, and he kind of looked the same to me. He literally looked the same to me.
Me personally, he looked worse.
He looked worse. He fought a lesser opponent.
Not like in a bad way. Like, you know, it was like I said, I enjoyed the fight when I watched it. But like some of his strikes were coming out weird. And he's had other fights where he's looked much crisper, much cleaner. The jabs were straight. The everything was just cleaner. The elbows were sharp. Like here, he was like throwing like a little bit weird punches in here and there.
It wasn't his natural.
Oh no, I'm just saying like in fights in general, like his strikes were cleaner.
I didn't see a jab last night.
No.
He threw.
I said he's like a Garbrandt. He's just gonna rely on the hook, bro.
True. He goes cowabunga.
Yeah.
I thought his ground game looked good. Dahl's a black belt, and for him to control, take him down, 100%. Take it back,
and not even be scared, really.
Dahl has competed against, if you guys are big jiu-jitsu nerds, this is a guy named Gordon Ryan. He's number one in the world.
Right.
He's competed against Gordon Ryan. You know, there's that touch of competing with a very high-level athlete. 100%. You know?
Yeah. He's definitely a legit black belt, for sure.
I think that's what makes Paris so exciting was that he's kind of a wild card. Like, he's not scared to kind of get into the depths of the bullshit to kind of make the fight exciting or to try to get the dub. Like,
yeah.
So it makes you think, how good is Jeff Neal?
Jeff Neal's really good. Jeff Neal's as good as Leon Edwards. Whereas they're both really good, but neither one of them have beat that guy that's going to put him over.
And that would
have
been Woodley.
Really tested.
Right. It would have been Woodley, but he still hasn't had it though.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? When Jeff Neal got that Perry fight, apparently he was serving tables and then got the
Punch. He went back to serving again.
Oh wow. Yeah. I mean obviously not now, but wow. What a payday, huh? You're in the UFC and you're still in the industry. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It just shows that the UFC doesn't pay as much as they could.
Shit. Who else are we talking about? I want to give a quick mention for the Hansen fight, who was the female fighter, fought Frey?
Yeah, Jinyu Frey, former Atom Weight Invictus champion.
Yeah,
both Invictus champions. And I thought, I when I heard the fight, I was like, that feels like a win for Jin. Like, it feels like more of a setup, but Kay Hansen's legit. Like, she's a beast. Like, I've watched all her fights in Invicta and a few other places as well. Like, I knew she was going to come out and be tough for sure.
Another 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu student who, I mean, her striking obviously needs to be a lot better.
Right. But she's young, too. What's she, like, 20 years old?
She's 20. Yeah. But her and the Cooper kid, or Hooper, are they two young?
Yeah, the only other
fighter that's younger.
No, that's how you know how young she is, if you need a comparison. Yeah.
Legit, you know? Yeah. But, I mean, she looked really impressive, man. I mean, I think just if she can get her striking up to par, I mean, she saw the adjustment she needed to make that she was like, all right, I can't mess. Like, you could tell Bray was just too fast for her when it came to the stand-up. She was getting right. Her.
But you got to know, yeah, she made the proper adjustments. I liked it because Ronda shouted her out afterwards. Like, that was a nice arm, but like some shit.
Oh, yeah. Right? Right? You know? And she's, granted, Bray was, I think, 35, obviously, so she's got the experience behind
yeah.
her.
Oh, 100%.
To me, I thought maybe Kate would have been faster because she's a younger fighter. But it was.
No, but she's more of a grappler.
Yeah, like, but it was really surprising to see Bray kind of just be able to just be like, no, you're not gonna outstrike me. That's for sure.
Right. 100%. Like, but that's obviously Frey's a specialist on the feet more than on the ground and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I like that fight. And the Brandon Allen and
two top prospects.
What's his last name?
Dawkus.
Yeah, Dawkus, yeah.
Really great fight. Can't believe a judge gave Brandon Allen that round, the third round somehow, because it was a 30-27.
It was crazy that the other guy, Dawkus, was it? Dawkus won, right? Yeah, it was crazy that Dawkus came back. When Dawkus came back, he came back, bro. He was like, you might have hurt me in that first round, bro, but I'm going to get on your ass. And
Dawkus was the one that lost. Brandon Allen won. But Brandon Allen... Yeah, Brandon Allen was the one that won. He was getting pummeled that third round.
Right.
And, I mean, the 15 seconds. I'm wondering if those 15 seconds at the end, considering he got Dawkus back, mm-hmm. that maybe that's how the judge was able to give him that third round. But
also, you know, these judges are suspect at best.
Gosh, man. It's bad, though. Some of these are, like, really, really bad.
We absolutely, in the fighting world, we need a reform for judges. What is going on?
100%.
It's been a long time, and we still haven't figured it out. It needs to be an ex-judge, unbiased, with skills, who has skills. Maybe there should be a grappling judge who's just a grappler, or a striking judge, or a wrestling judge. One of those three, and then one being a mixed martial artist, maybe like four.
I just want to see these judges watch a fight, judge the fight, and then break down every aspect of what they saw. How did you decide that this person won this round? What did they do? Like play the round, like show me what you saw that made this guy win the round. Like, it because they don't answer to anyone, they'll never. I don't think it'll ever.
You know what I enjoy about Bellator, the live round by round scoring. Whether it may be true or not, it's by like the analysts. You know, they're on.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've always loved about Bellator. Bellator's
underrated.
Every round, they were breaking down the scores of how they thought it was going and stuff like that. And I was like, I wish they did that in the UFC. And I think Invicta tried doing live round by round as well.
I've always been a big believer in, like, Joe Rogan has mentioned it on his podcast, about having, like, a committee. Like, get 10 former fighters, coaches, people that are experienced in the MMA world, let's say retired, whatever the case is, that are willing to be participants as judges, and have 10 people or 8 people, have more than just 3 or 4. Have a good amount of guys that if majority of them say that this person won the fight, if 7 out of 10 people say this person won, guess what? They most likely won that fucking fight.
Right.
It's split 5 and 5. It's a legitimate fucking draw. There's 5 and 5 guys. You know, I feel like if the more eyes you have, the better you can actually judge something, because you have more eyes, and especially if it's professional eyes and people that have been there and people that understand the ground game, and they're still using boxing measurements of fighting. Like, you can't, the point system, like, you can't use that for MMA. It's a different different thing. You know, you can't, you know, what if a guy goes for a takedown? Just because he takes them down doesn't necessarily mean he's winning. Did he do something when he took that thing?
Right, right.
Did he inflict any damage, or did the guy get back up? You know, if a guy's constantly just taking somebody down but isn't doing anything with that position, then they're not winning. But some of these guys see that and say, oh, well, look, he took him down like 5 times. So obviously he won that round. No.
I think they've nerfed takedowns over the years. It doesn't mean as much if you're not passing the guard, you know, have heavy offense from the top, submissions, whatever.
But some of these guys don't understand, like, even, like, when people are attacking from the ground, submission-wise, and doing all these submission attempts and actually being
active. Yeah, that's points. It should be points. More points than what it is.
You know? And so a lot of it, I think, if you have people that are actually experienced, that have actually fought in the MMA world, then you have less bad calls, especially if you have a good group. Even if, let's say, it's 5 to start off with. If you can get 5 people – to agree, majority can agree that this fighter won, then hey, guess what? Most likely that fighter won. And especially if it's somebody respected, if you have like a Henry who's not watching his own fight, he's watching someone else. You got some of these guys of this caliber that are just willing to spend some time to the commission, because I believe the judges are under they work for the commission.
Right.
Then you can, you know, not only do you expand, you know, let's say economically, if you're trying to grow this brand of MMA, you're helping your fellow fighters that fought for you or that have put their bodies on the line to compete for a sport that's still very new and growing. And you get people involved that actually know the sport, man, that actually know what's going on in there, instead of guys that are about to go do a boxing match that don't even know what boxing is like, because none of them have ever stepped in a ring and thrown a punch a day in their life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, let's see their credentials. Are you saying, TJ? Or Tony? Tony?
Huh?
What are you saying, Tony?
As long as these athletic commissions are running the show, nothing be able to change. It would have to be somebody doing something independent or somehow like that.
Yeah.
I think the UFC has more power to do what they want, but
I don't think so.
Nah. They have to adhere to the commission, and Nevada is their number one commission that they're doing they do a lot of their fights with. So it's rough. I mean, think about it. It's an institution that's been around for how long? Like, it's going to take a lot for them to fucking be like, yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll change what we've been doing for decades upon decades of decades.
So, that or either you got to start exclusively fighting on reservations where there's no commission.
That'd be different.
They were going to do that fight at Tachi Palace because it's on reservation. Mm-hmm.
To supersede, they
wouldn't have a commission.
Yeah,
I don't mind these Apex fights. Apex is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the Apex more than the empty arena.
Yeah,
personally.
Yes.
It's not, because it's not as empty. Like that shit was sad smaller. When I first.
And
saw
the
it.
Smaller ring too.
Yeah,
and people have to engage a lot more. They can't, you know.
Can we stick to the smaller ring?
Stipe don't want that. Stipe don't want that small ring, bro.
Of course you don't.
No, he don't. He said
he don't want to fight.
Keep it a striking only match.
Yeah.
But you gotta adjust, man. You're a champ. You'll adjust.
Yeah.
Out of here. I don't
You beat him. You beat him last time. Just beat him again, bro.
Beat him again, bro. If DC don't take care of the body, bro.
Oh, he ain't got worry about the body. He just shooting doubles all day, bro. Singles and doubles. You better hit him with the fucking Dagestani handcuff, bro.
Hey.
Which is crazy because, like, DC ended him in one round. People blame the eye poke for that, which I don't think played the factor.
I don't know, bro. Like, somebody stabbed me in my eye, they could definitely knock me out afterwards.
I got to see that. I didn't catch that.
Did you knock me out, John?
You think I'm just let you kill me?
I mean, that's a true trilogy for sure. The winner 100%. Of the third wins. You know what's not a true trilogy? Chuck and Tito. I mean, that's weird how it ended, but still.
No.
That last fight was just.
Tito got whooped twice.
That wasn't real.
It wasn't eye poke. There
wasn't
actually
fight. You didn't fight Chuck Liddell. You fought the ghost of Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
You fought like a Chuck Liddell impersonator from.
That was like a vegetable version of fucking Chuck.
It was really bad. You know what's a true trilogy as well? Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez.
I can agree with that.
Same thing with Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard.
Boy, I thought she was about to say BJ Penn. Really stopped.
Those two, wasn't it?
They had three. That last one just wasn't real.
Oh, last one was really bad. Beat him to a pulp,
really
right?
Bad. BJ Penn looked weird. He looked weird.
So there was the one where it was like a split decision. The second one was unanimous.
Yeah, everybody thought BJ won the first one, but Frankie won it. Frankie clearly won the second one. And then third one was just sad.
Yeah. Jeez. BJ's still trying to like... Hey, can I get another fight, Dana? Yeah.
Listen, he's a crackhead for fights, bro. Fight people in the streets, he don't care.
Oh, shout out to Jim Miller winning his fight. I forgot what fight.
Yeah, and he made like $208,000. He made the most.
Shout out to Jim Miller, man.
He's like, yeah, book me again. I want another fucking bag. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, that's somebody who's lost to Dan Hooker. Like, he's fought the who's who in the lightweight division.
Cowboy.
Yeah, Poirier. He was doing good against Poirier too when they fought.
Jim
Miller. He fought Miller too.
Who?
Poirier.
Yeah.
Jeez, I can't even keep track of how many people. Like, listen, same thing with the Cowboy.
If anybody's made a career out of fighting, it's definitely been Jim Miller.
Yeah, well, like all those guys that came over, a lot of them that came over from WEC,
yeah,
at the same time, like they just were scrappy dudes. Like they just fight a lot. They fought everybody too.
Yo, WEC was, that was one of my favorites.
My favorite promotion.
That's where I fell in love with Carlos Condit, Chael Sonnen.
I met Jose Aldo. That's where I met Jose. Aldo. Changed my life.
Anthony Pettis. I mean, all
I personally love Pride.
I never watched Pride.
I didn't watch Pride when it was happening, but
I watched like later on, like the latest version of Pride that they had, but that was it. I never watched like the oldest stuff.
Okay.
I enjoy ONE FC and Bellator as well.
Yeah, ONE FC is nice. I do enjoy Bellator as well.
We will have to start covering those topics whenever those decide to open back up. I miss Bellator. Yeah. They're in the middle of a 145-pound tournament. They're just stacked.
A good tournament too.
Dude. People don't know who AJ McKee is, and it's a damn shame.
Boy, they're gonna learn. AJ McKee's legit, and he's good everywhere.
And his dad fights too.
Right now, is it to establish the 145 champion?
The champion right now is Patricio or Patricio?
Patricio? Yeah, I always get
Patricio's the older
names mixed up. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. But Patricio.
Patricio's the good one. The good pit
bull. He's legit.
Okay.
And he knocked out Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
Which blew my mind.
Michael Chandler can say whatever it's
going to be. That was a 1FC? I don't know why I was thinking that was at Bellator.
No, that was Bellator.
Yeah.
Crazy. We'll have to dive into a Bellator-only episode next week.
Hey, I'm with it. So
who do we have in this fight, on this fight on with the main card?
2 weeks, and we've got the title fights.
We got triple title fights.
I got Usman beating Burns.
You got Burns? I think Usman takes it as well.
I think Usman takes it.
Oh, Usman, unanimous decision.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And then second fight is Volkanovski Holloway, right? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Volkanovski 21-1. That blows my mind.
Volkanovski is going to beat Holloway again.
You think?
He hasn't had enough time to adjust. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat him by leg kicks. I mean, it wasn't like he was hurting Max. Maybe I'll point it.
No, in the sense of Max couldn't do like volume striking like he wanted to because of the power differential. And if he couldn't volume strike, then what will he change? What can he change?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. A part of me feels like Volkanovski will defend. But
I just don't like immediate turnarounds. Not obviously Volkanovski didn't starch him or anything, and you could obviously Holloway is a legit champion and stuff like that. I just don't like them when they're so quick, like if you haven't had time to and maybe he has, I don't know.
I mean, when did they fight though? It's been a while, no?
Yeah.
It was earlier this year, it had to be.
I think so.
Or was it last year, the end of last year?
It might have been the end of last year, like on the last card of the year, I believe. But I don't know, man. As much as we want to see Max win, you know, it's going to be a tough.
If Holloway wins, I don't think he knocks him out.
I think they win unanimous decision.
You think so? I think Volkanovski has a chance to knock out Holloway.
Good luck.
Okay, they fought December 14th last year.
I mean,
as much as I like that rematch, I mean, I think Max deserves the immediate rematch. You know, no question.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this cements Max's legacy. If he can become a champion.
That'll create a trilogy, though. If he wins it, it's going to be a trilogy.
No, they won't do immediate.
Not immediately, no.
Oh, not immediately, no. Not after this one.
But you're right. I mean, Volkanovski wouldn't be that far off. He'd probably need a win.
He'd be like, depending. What, one win?
Yeah, depending. If Max Holloway beats the brakes off of him, then it might take a couple fights. But if he squeezes by a victory, which is what I think he's going to do, I think he's going to squeeze a unanimous decision out. I think Volkanovski just needs to win one other fight and look good, and then he can.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's Peter Yan, Jose Aldo. I think we've talked about this before, but
I mean, who do you guys got?
I got Aldo, man. 34 fights to 15, and the experience. I don't think Peter Yan's overrated. I think he's up and coming. But if your biggest win is Uriah Faber,
yeah.
I mean, it was impressive. But
Faber was you know, he was still, he was trying, you know?
Yeah, he's still in there.
It wasn't just like an immediate win.
Yeah.
Because you put Faber in there with somebody like Marais, I think Marais would kill Faber.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I think Aldo pulls it off too. I think.
Too much experience, man.
I thought Jan at first, but like, I think I'm going back to Aldo too.
Yep.
But like, it's definitely a tough, like, I don't know if like that age will play a factor. Aldo's good, but he does gas around the third round.
Aldo?
Yeah. Because he throws so much boxing combos now since he doesn't leg kick anymore.
I was gonna say,
which is crazy.
It seemed like if he could keep his conditioning, that it'd keep him in the fight a lot better.
100%. Yeah.
A lot better than, because I feel like with the Mariah fight, he didn't seem to be losing steam too much.
He didn't. He just quit throwing in the third.
In the third, yeah.
Even though he still, I gotta go back and rewatch it, because I went back and rewatched it. I thought Marais won it, but then my friends, like, he got outstruck, and I was like, how? I don't. Now I feel like I got to go back and rewatch
it. You got to watch it again.
Like, yeah, like, but it's just crazy.
I was the same, Tony. I thought Pewter just was on this tear, and he looks like just this little mini Terminator guy that's just probably going to run over whoever he fights next. But Jose Aldo's Jose Aldo, man, and he looked good against Marlon. He looked really good. So I feel,
I'll say with like somebody like Jan, he doesn't really have like a specialty, I would say. Like, he just kind of like pretty well rounded, I would call.
I think he has some heavy hands to him. He could definitely put people's lights out. It's just, so I mean, Jose Aldo was doing that 145. I mean, can he
right
135 now that he's kind of, because bro, he looks like skeletons, man. He looks like,
has Pedion lost, first off?
Once. I don't remember who.
Did he
not in the UFC?
It wasn't in UFC.
UFC, though. Yeah, no.
Probably somebody in Russia.
His biggest win, in my opinion, is Jimmy Rivera. Biggest name, Raya Faber. Biggest win, Jimmy Rivera.
How did he beat Rivera? I don't remember.
I believe a decision. I have to look it up. But Jimmy Rivera, he was on fire at one point, and I think what put him out was
Marais. Marais.
Marais, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
switch kick a dude.
Okay, I think I asked Eric this, or Sheppy, probably like a week or two ago. Who has a better switch kick? Or I think it was you, Josh. Yeah. Better switch kick.
Barbosa or
Barbosa or Marais.
Right.
Well, it's funny because like they trained all the way up together through like for so long, so they probably thought they'd pitch about the same.
Probably.
Yeah.
When Barbosa came,
he bought anywhere Barbosa went, he was bringing Marais with him, like when he was training and stuff like that. So they've been everywhere together.
I think, you know what? I didn't even mention this as a factor for Barbosa, but Barbosa's bigger. So the fact that he's able to throw those leg kicks at 155 the way he does,
might
give him the edge over Marlon. But
now if he keeps losing these weird decisions.
Yeah, I don't see how that happened. And Dan Ige is getting Calvin Kattar after that, and I don't think
Calvin Kattar is probably gonna fuck him up.
Dude, he's so good.
I love Ige too. Like he's actually, I like seeing guys like get better over time.
Yeah. But
Cater's nasty.
He's on a tear right now.
He lost his beat though, right?
Yeah, but it was a war. I feel like he did, but it was a war.
Zabit's got Nair next.
That was the one that
he was also
this is Zabit's probably hardest challenge so far, the skater.
Zabit got to get his cardio right too, because all the fights I've been watching him in, he guesses in the third.
Well, that's what happened to him and Cater. That's why it got so close.
Yeah. The fact that he almost lost, he like Bokniak, like you can't gas against Bokniak, bro. He's supposed to be this elite special dude.
45 is stacked as well.
100%. 100%. Ooh.
Yeah, years for real as well.
What do we think of? There's the two ladies fighting. Yep. There's also Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade fighting on the Fight Island.
The he match.
So
we can't call it undeserved that Jessica Andrade won. But wow, right. We saw every single moment before that moment.
Oh
like, no, but it's like anybody. It's like a comeback knockout win though. Like as much as anybody will try to put it down, like Speaking of Bellator, I think it was Patricio's, like, one of his, like, one or two fights ago he had where he was fighting a dude, and the guy was, like, dogging him. And he, like, popped up against the cage, and then he just slips and knocks him out.
Yep.
Like, and it's just, like, and that's basically the same thing here. Like, you can be losing, but you're not out of it.
Yes.
Perfect example, Czech Congo and Pat Barry.
Yeah. Ooh.
But granted, Rose Namajunas also just didn't, like, all she had to do was let go. Hey, you're
no. She felt confident because she didn't get powerbombed the first time, and she got her, like, she got out of it.
Yeah.
Without taking damage. That second time, she was still cocky because she got out of it the first time.
Yeah, no. Let
that shit hurt. Watch.
Second thing is, she's been out for a while, and she's got, like, all these, like, mental issues and back issues and all this other kind of stuff going on. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's going to play into how she fights in general.
Hopefully. And speaking of Pat Barry's her husband, ain't he?
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Because also remember, Jessica Andrade, that beating she took from Wei Li, I guarantee took something out of her.
Yeah, but like nothing's going to – I don't think anything will change Andrade's resolve. Like
you're right.
She's so like, I'm going to march forward. I'm going to try to put hands on you type of girl. Like, she's not going to care. Like, she's going to do it again or try to do it, obviously, against Rose. We'll see, because like Rose looked perfect. In that first fight, until she got powerbombed, her boxing, her footwork, I mean, she was looking on some next, like, fucking next level shit. Like,
yeah.
But she got powerbombed.
She won that fight. I feel like so many super fights could have opened up for Rose.
Right. But I don't know if she – do you think she would do super fights like that?
I mean, Joanna's adventuring.
Joanna's different, though. Joanna's, like, into that kind of shit. Like, she's into, like, the ego and shit like that. I don't feel like Rose. Yeah,
Rose, no.
Like
Rose
is quiet, yeah.
Rose wants her belt back. Now she's going to have to go through Wei Li, and I don't know how that's going to look for her.
I think Wei Li beats her. Good night.
The last female women's fight is going to be
the biggest women's free fight. Agent. In the MMA community.
Paige VanZant versus Rebus.
Rebus is going to kill her.
That's what I hear. And I think
Rebus is going to kill her.
Now, we all know that when the U.S. has free agents, they're very known for having you fight a tough fight as your
last. They want you to lose on the way out. For sure.
They want to make sure your stock isn't nearly as high.
100%.
Now.
Smart. I didn't think about that.
Now, Paige VanZant. Who's fine?
She's all right.
I think you're right. I think she's messed up, unfortunately. But if she can pull off a win, power to her for going out.
If she can pull off that win and go into free agency, obviously she can say she wants to go into free agency. She wants to go fight at Bellator with her husband. That's what she wants.
They're going to pay her.
Awesome.
And they'll pay her. You don't think?
I don't think they pay her. She's not worth it.
She's not.
Maybe she brings eyes, but for the skill.
No, right,
but again, what matters?
Is she really like? Is she really putting butts in seats for pay per views? Like, is she the person that puts somebody on for the pay per view? Like, she might do good for fight nights. So I don't think she's bringing any numbers to pay per view.
No, but people might be more interested if they see a fight card. You know, not for nothing, a little bit of vain. But if the girl looks pretty, they can be, oh shit, she's fighting. Oh, she's a, you know, it gets people. I think beauty, you know. The imagery, I think, gets casual people into the fight and say, ooh, who's this hot chick fighting?
Mackenzie Dern.
You know? What's up, Mike?
Mackenzie Dern, yes. I mean, at this point, the UFC's got no clue what they're doing. Jessica I and Cynthia Calvillo was the main event. They would never lift that down in my head. Put Paige as the main event. Fuck it. At this point, fuck it.
Yeah.
It won't be boring.
Yeah, but I also don't think... Like, if she's trying to test the agency to get more money, where they're at right now, if they're not going to pay John Jones and Jorge Masvidal, fuck, and they're never going to pay Paige.
Connor, or give Connor a fight?
Connor, like, O'Malley wants more money, too. Like, if they're not paying them, bye.
Good luck.
Yeah, we got other cute girls on the roster, no offense. Like,
So I was talking with Kev a little bit about, you know, Dana White saying that the UFC isn't a career, it's an opportunity. And initially, I'll be honest, I was kind of like, well, that's kind of dumb because obviously people have made a career out of fighting. Yeah. But I feel like in the similar terms,
you got to be able to capitalize, though.
I feel like it's similar to football, right? You can't consider everybody who's played football to have a career in football. You know, I mean, is it based on the longevity that they played that sport or the amount of money that they made during the time that they played that sport, right? To set up a career. If you think about your career move, you make a career salary, you make a certain amount of wealth to better your life in one form or another or to keep it sustainable, right? These fighters, it's all based on their talent and skill. I feel like a lot of these fighters, they don't last nearly 3 years because it's just a different sport. Like, you lose once, and if it looked trash, you'll get fucking dropped. That's it. It's their prerogative kind of thing. With football, obviously, it's a little bit more. It's obviously a team sport, so the amount of money that's generated by football, which has been around for decades upon decades and generations, it's a lot better. Money-wise, it's going to be a lot better for them. I think the fact that these fighters like Jim Miller, like Cowboy, like Anderson Silva, that fought for a good amount of time, even some of these earlier fighters like Chuck, that had a good amount of time fighting, built a career outside of the UFC in the sense of, like, they built...
It doesn't last forever.
They got their gyms. They built some sort of wealth outside of fighting, because fighting alone doesn't do it, I feel like. Unless you're making stupid money, even then, you have to have something outside of fighting, because fighting alone isn't going to just pay your bills.
That's what always surprises me when, like, especially some of these bigger name fighters, like, haven't started a gym or something. Like, you're like, come on, man. Like, you're like so well known. You don't have like any backup money. Like, what's your plan? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. And granted, you know, it's, I feel like that's something that's probably harder. Like football players, right? Not all football players can just come up with any sort of like a football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
like,
it's
fighting wise, like, these guys can be, they can create their gym. They can, you know, they can,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So they have these opportunities that, yeah, it's crazy that they don't take advantage. Like, it's wild to me that some of these guys just are, well, Mike Perrying it up and just, you know, sending that money, having a good time.
Yeah.
And it bites him in the ass, unfortunately. So I think that's why you see the Masvidals of John Jones, maybe the O'Malley. Some of these guys just hold out because they're like, listen, I have my other shit that's making me money too. I don't need to fight.
No, that's why I love O'Malley.
She makes more money off her sponsorships, for social media shit, for doing like advertising for products than she does it for fame.
Yeah, but that must be nice. Like,
of course, because she's a good looking girl. But that's the only reason. They're not giving Cavillo something to be, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, not everybody can get that.
I'm saying that's how Instagram works, I guess.
Well, I think nowadays, these fighters have opportunities to brand themselves out of just fighting. Just a matter of them. They also have to produce. That's the thing. They can't just talk shit. You know, I mean, granted, hey, listen, Dylan Danis made it somehow. He's what? He's fought two times in the Bellator, right? He's 2-0. Yeah. And he somehow brought himself to some sort of position, I guess, to be able to afford a certain lifestyle. Granted, obviously, Conor helped a lot with that. Yeah. But yeah, it goes to show sometimes it's about the way you can market yourself and your skill. Because Dylan Danis is skillful. He can fight. Yeah. You know, he just hasn't fought.
What were you going to say?
He hasn't fought like good people yet.
Yeah. I think, and this can probably go for any sport, if you're not in the NFL, NBA, UFC, and you're a basketball player, football player, MMA fighter, nothing matters until you're in that organization, really. I mean, not taking anything away.
Yeah, I guess Bellator, like monetarily, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're not taking anything away against like Bellator or ONE FC, but
you have
to
build yourself up. Yeah.
Your athletic career is defined by those leagues. So if those big fighters want to adventure in the free market, they'll find money elsewhere. But the most money to be made is in UFC, hands down.
I mean, it continues to propel them. And I think that, but the problem is they want to be making more money from the UFC more than their side businesses. And I think right now they look at it as like, well, I can sustain off this. I don't need to necessarily put myself in danger. Cause this, I think they're looking at it as like, listen, like John Jones in particular, he's going up in weight. He's like, I make $5 million off my pay-per-views. Let me get $7 million. Let me get $8 million. To fight. I know my contract states that I'm getting $5 million, which is still a lot of money, but I'm going up to fight one of the most dangerous heavyweights that you guys have right now.
Rightfully so.
Compensate me for that, considering that we're both like, it's an equal partnership with, like you mentioned, it's a partnership when it comes to the eyeballs, right? That's something that Masvidal was trying to mention when he was negotiating, that Usman didn't bring enough eyeballs, and so he didn't feel the numbers were fair.
No, you want to pay me $100,000 to show, $100,000 to win to fight the champion, but I made like probably $2 million to fight Nate Diaz
for a fake belt.
Given it was because of the flying knee and being Nate Diaz's opponent that sold.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, not just the flying knee. Also, he knocked the shit out of Darren Till, who had been
he was the fighter of the year. He came up big time.
He built what he had, and he produced for them. I could see why he feels, why am I not being compensated?
If you sign the contract.
Yeah.
That's my only gripe.
But if you're forced to fight a contract that you don't feel is fair, because the only way that you're going to fight is if you fight. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to take it.
I think that's the problem, is he felt like he needed to, because if not, then he was never going to fight or get that big paycheck that he got.
Let me put it this way. If you're going up in the rankings, I feel like the money should follow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Especially and maybe it would have over time, or like give him, you know, the time to – you signed an 8-fight contract.
Yep.
You can't be wanting to renegotiate your contract after you knocked it out in the second part of your contract. You signed the contract. Don't sign a long-ass fucking contract. How do y'all not know this?
I don't understand. And that's literally every fighter that's complaining.
Literally every fighter. Like, I don't get it. Like, I go to work every day. I want to make more money, but I know how much I'm set to make. I can't go to work and be like, damn, that was a hard day. Pay me more money.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. I also think that, and people are doing it during the pandemic because, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward. We don't know. I mean, as far as 2020 goes, I feel like anything goes. And maybe they just want to get
Earth's final season. It's Earth's final season.
And then we get taken over by Mars, and
Dr. Disrespect just got permabanned from Twitch, so the world is definitely ending. I don't know.
Yeah. Whoa, really?
Yeah, bro.
Do you know
why? No one knows why.
Look, you know,
Tony, we can't even talk about this shit. So Tony Swan is like, nope, I'm out of this.
Wait a second, because that was the number one guy on Twitch, right?
Yeah.
Did he play music or something?
He just signed
but they never said why, though.
They haven't released it. That's the craziest thing.
Now, I believe it was his ex-girlfriend or somebody. I can't remember who it was, but it was a girl. And she said she agreed with why they banned him, but they still, I don't think she ever said why they banned him. So I don't know what he did. Maybe he said some like shit or something on stream or something.
That a lot of eyes on him.
That day, and it was fun. Suppose, I mean, there's so many rumors. I think from what people are saying, it's ranging from like Twitch released a statement saying that he had broken some terms of service, and so that's why he didn't matter how low on the totem pole or how prominent you are, we'll ban you regardless. And so they did, supposedly from what he released on his end from Twitch or from Twitter, was saying that he doesn't know why he's working it out with them.
He knows why he got banned. If he got banned, he knows why he got banned.
Exactly.
Of course.
Now, and the last moments of his stream, he's like, he says, you know, Champions Club, it's, you know, it seemed like maybe he could technically be talking about like everything that's happening with the pandemic and shit like that and what's going on in the world today. It was like, you know, we'll get through this. You know, we're going to stick together, something along these lines. And then at the end, he's like, fuck. And then that's it. And so, you know, apparently he had been unfaithful with his, on his wife like a couple years ago. So there's all these rumors trying to tie it to that, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it could be, maybe he was trying to work out a side deal and he broke his contract with Twitch and, you know, maybe that's sure, why there's so much. It's crazy, but he's gone. They refunded everybody's money who was a subscriber. They Discord dropped them. The people that made his llama, I think, were the people that made like his little figurines. They dropped them. The only people that didn't drop them.
So something serious happened then, because all those people wouldn't have dropped them.
Now, granted, if all those people were tied with Twitch, then they would have. Because G Fuel, I think he has from like Gatorade.
I guess.
So if let's say the contracts that he got through Discord and through whatever it was,
or through Twitch,
and it would all just kind of be falling under one umbrella. But I don't know.
You would think like some of them would stay. Like, say they contracted him just because he's with Twitch. You would think they would be smart enough to stay with him, because if he started up on like Mixer, Facebook Gaming, when that comes back or whatever, that he would get, you know, people back on him, and you want to stay with that.
But also think about cancel culture right now. And all it takes is allegations. We don't need proof.
100%.
We just need people to make allegations. And if they can provide any sort of proof without context.
It's phenomenal proof.
In the Chris D'Elia, that was happening with Chris D'Elia lately. I don't know if you saw, Mikey, but the emails came out. He released the emails that he was asking these girls how old they were. And
the text messages I saw just seemed so...
He was a thirst bucket. He was trying to smash all these chicks. But some of them he didn't know that were underage. When he would ask, they would tell him. And then he'd be like, oh, well, I thought you were of age. Sorry, I can't, like, no, you can't hang out.
It doesn't help.
Same thing that happened with Chris Hardwick with his ex. You know, unfortunately, until if there's not certain evidence, which is not to say that we shouldn't hear these allegations. They're serious. If they're serious allegations, we need to be able to figure them out. But there has to be some sort of evidence. It can't just be...
If it's all allegations, then y'all just, I mean, I get it. I get why you would, you know, call them out on it, but it also would suck. It's like, it's all allegations with no, like, hard evidence.
If there's no proof, that sucks. You're just ruining, you're potentially ruining someone's career in life.
And here's what Jenny put into perspective for me. It's either you side with the accuser or you side with the accused. So if the accuser comes out to be wrong, you know, after the investigation, they're just a liar. If you side with D'Elia, you sided with the pedophile, and you supported the pedophile.
So right, but if he's not though,
exactly.
Then
well, and the problem.
Like, it's messed up. Like, if a girl can come out and say some shit that somebody did, if it's not true, or they like want it for like to do it for like attention or something like that. Not to say that these girls are doing that. But if it is like something like that, like, it would be horrible to think like somebody could get their whole like career just stopped because somebody, you know, wanted to target you to try to get, you know, all your stuff shut out.
And unfortunately, it's happened. I mean, that's why I think
needs
to be heard. These allegations need to be taken seriously. But once 100%. You, if nothing comes out and you notice that some people are maybe stretching the truth a little bit or just upset because they felt spurned by this person of celebrity.
Right, right. Maybe they tried to sleep with him. He didn't want to sleep with her.
You know, like the girl that claimed when she was 16, that she hit him again when she was like 21, said, hey, by the way, I'm 21 now. It's like, all right, so then we're like,
what are we talking about?
Yeah.
So nothing concrete so far. Nothing hard evidence.
No. I mean, from what Chris released his side of the emails. So, which the girl didn't. The girls didn't. They left out certain parts. Which
everybody just put the one initial message.
Don't omit anything, because then when it does come out, then people are going to look at you sideways.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, going back to kind of the subject at hand, though, with Dr. Disrespect, hopefully it's not that bad. Hopefully it is something contractual and that he can get it fixed. Because if it is something like allegations towards any, you know, female streamers, whatever the case is, it's a fucking, that's rough. And especially if he's actually guilty of it, I mean, you know, it can get real dicey.
Yeah. It's gonna
be shit. Look at Hyde from That 70s Show, who legitimately.
Man, that shit's crazy. Yeah, Danny Masterson.
Mm-hmm. But he got, and that was somebody that off allegations, they investigated and it never got released, but I believe that they investigated enough that they knew that something was coming down the pipeline. Because years ago,
kicked him off the ranch and everything that he was on, like,
and that was his boy.
Now more evidence came out, which is crazy. Like,
exactly. So,
Bastion is guilty.
Yeah. His,
oh wow.
Well, they're indicting him. He's got to go to court, but they're indicting him. They're charging him with it. So clearly, they have enough evidence to indict him on the charges. So, don't know how we got off this. It was Dr. Disrespect and the fall of 2020 right now. So.
Yeah,
it's
literally
final season 2020. You know, so if the last thing we get to enjoy are fights, then hey, fellas, I'm glad I get to
do it the right way.
Yeah,
and talk shit about it, cause fuck, I'll tell you right now though, if they take away football, people are gonna riot, bro. If you thought
college football,
bro, what
regular football,
bro, college, you know, people are crazier about college football than they are about regular football.
Yep.
Like,
they follow way harder. There's so much money in football, and that Aaron Hernandez documentary opened my eyes to that.
Oh my god! There's college
crazy business. Money.
They've been making stupid money off that for forever. But I mean, if they, that's why. Luckily, with everything that's happening, hopefully people can, we can get the numbers down, the cases down, so the risk of people getting sick or high risk people, you know, losing their lives or just having to be deal with the turmoil of dealing with this disease. If we can get that down. So that way we don't have to worry about it, then I think we'll start having people come back. But it's crazy that NASCAR is the only one that has one of the few that has people actually that's going to have people in the stands. They're the only sport that's going to have people in the stands. I think they're
that's how many tickets they sell.
I think they're up. They're opening up to like 5,000. They're going to sell. Trust me. That's another
they'll sell. They'll sell. NASCAR people are weird. NASCAR people are weirdos.
I would still go to one, I guess. I just
I would never go to one. I'm not going to anything where a dude just drives in a circle, bro.
It's a sport, bro. Sport.
I'm not saying it's not tough. I'm just saying I'm not going to watch it.
I've always been, you know, sorry for all you NASCAR fans out there. I've never felt like it was maybe necessarily called what that you would need to be an athlete to be in that sport, I guess.
Apparently, yeah. It's a hot box
like,
in there.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, you sweat to death in there. Like, and the, like,
yeah, you burn calories. I mean, you drive around for 4 hours. You burn, I think they said, like, they burn, like, 5,300 calories or something like that.
Right, it's something crazy. They sweat like, hell in there. And then but also, I mean, you got to, like, control that whole car for, like, however long that race is.
For 4 hours, I get it. I mean, you don't need to be an athlete, though. But if you look at some of those guys, you definitely don't need to be. I feel like if you're playing a sport, you need to be somewhat athletic.
No, you have to be doing something athletic. Like,
what about golf?
Golf, no. Nope.
No.
I think I think it helps to be an athlete, maybe just same as racing. I think it helps to be an athlete.
Right.
Because, you know, I think more golf than NASCAR, because golf, you have to torque your body in a way that's not normal. Just same as like baseball, like the way they're throwing the ball to get the velocity, like they're whipping their arm. That's why a lot of them have to get Tommy John surgery and shit like that. Same with like their golf swing, like you're putting your body in this arc position to get this leverage, to get the swing. I'm sure being athletic helps, but listen, there's a reason why they got a 60 and up tour. You know, you ain't got to be an athlete to be playing and making money as a golfer.
Well,
we can't even get a UFC Legends division.
You,
right.
I mean, just because that'd be rough. Imagine seeing Chuck Liddell come back again. Just all right,
Chuck Liddell, Vito Belfort, let's do it.
I would do it. I would pay to watch that.
For Vito.
Chuck, boy, have you seen Vito Belfort?
Back I mean, not Belfort.
Dude.
He's still cracking.
No, but have you seen his most recent picture?
He's like Jack now. Still,
did you see
Jack?
I'm sure. Because he ain't with the UFC anymore, right?
Yeah, he's with one championship, and they definitely lost their
wins. They're going to love
weaker tranquilizers.
We don't want you to juice, all right?
Yeah.
We just want you to just take some extra, you know,
Mr. supplement. Mr. Belfort, welcome to UFC. Here's your supplement.
Wink. Well, shit, boys. I think we had a great podcast. Covered a lot. All you lifers out there listening, appreciate you. Can't wait for these fights. What is it, July 11th, Fight Island?
July
11th,
yeah.
That's the next big card. Do we have another fight night beforehand? I would assume so or no?
Is it? I thought there was one more coming up.
I feel like they're trying to get
online. It said just 251. Maybe I was wrong.
I mean, there's still what a few days to no, actually, no, it's like literally less than 2 weeks. So,
I guess, because I guess it would just skip this week and there'd be 1 week off and then back to it.
So, there might not be a fight night. So, Fight Island, then we get to enjoy some good fights, fellas.
I can't wait,
man. And then come August, the trilogy. So we'll have a lot more
talk about. If Stipe doesn't find a way to get out of it.
Shoot. The UFC needs to make sure they can solidify something with Masvidal and these boys. We got to get these fights in.
Well, he is fighting again in 2020. He already said that he just is going to fight out his contract. But he also said that he's not going to fight anyone that isn't a value of what he's getting paid. So, like, I don't think he's trying to do any big fights. Like, he wants to do adequate to what he's getting paid fights. He doesn't want to sell you pay-per-views and do all these, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
I gotta
go fight Izzy or something. Go talk shit to Izzy.
Nah.
That'll sell fights.
He wanted to fight Michael when Mike was champion. Fuck it. Fight Izzy too, shit.
Sure. Well, we'll see, boys. Shit. Signing off. Please like, subscribe, check out our social media page, Lifers Podcast on IG. Check out Tony Clark's page, Tony Clark MMA, correct, on IG?
Don't get it. Yeah, Tony Clark underscore MMA.
Man's got the best memes, by the way. Thank you for posting that, Gina Carano. I was going to post that picture, too.
Right?
To be yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's heaven.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
It's like, I'm oh, shit. Okay, girl. Love her.
Mandalorian later.
Right? So stay with us. We'll have another podcast soon enough next Sunday. And then, yeah, keep chopping it up. Stay up, lifers. Peace.
Later.